What we saw here in this other chapter is, you know, David was made king over the 10 northern tribes plus the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And they've had a little trouble with the Philistines. So after they got that little problem taken care of, then David decided he would go back and bring the Ark of God back to the city of God, which was Jerusalem, where it's supposed to be. And that's what we was getting into last week. And there's a lot of things you can learn in this chapter, chapter 6, the Christian, if you can see it. So I'm going to try to show you what it is and help you to understand it. Now, notice in verse 1, the Bible says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. All right, now, and then he says in verse 2, and David arose and went with all the people. I notice that he went with all the people. You understand that? We're going to have a point in that in just a minute. That were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from hence the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. Now the cherubim was the image of gold that was up on either side of the ark, and that's where the ark dwelled. And I tell you, that ark in that place represented the presence of God. Okay? Now what's happened here, if you've been with us all the way through this, and I think all of you have, back in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Philistines, they captured the ark. Remember that? And they've had it now for about 80 years. Now they took it, and the Philistines had 5 lords and 5 cities. And they took it around all their cities. You remember that? We studied that back in 1 Samuel. And all it caused them was it caused God plagued the cities everywhere that thing went. You know? And so they tried to get it back. But they only got it part the way back. They got it to Kadesh Jaron. And it stayed there for 20 years. You find this back in 1 Samuel. Now, there's something else in here I want to show you before we move on. It's in 1 Chronicles that said the same thing here. Just get a little bit more detail on it. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Let's look over there just for a minute. 1 Chronicles 13, that's on page 472. 1 Chronicles 13, and notice with me verse 4. Here's the same thing we're studying in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Now you see that? Remember where in 1 Samuel it said that David arose and went with all the people. You see that? Now watch this real close. The Bible says it was right in the eyes of all the people. Verse 5. So David gathered all Israel together from Shinar of Egypt, even under the entering of Hermath, to bring the ark of God from Kadesh Jaron. And that's where they was going to get it and bring it back. And notice that David was in agreeance with all the people, and all the people were in agreeance with David to bring the ark back. Okay? It's like you see, I'll give you an illustration. You see around Christmas time, you see signs says, put Christ back in Christmas. Everybody agrees to that. Amen? You'll hear certain of these religious newspapers and certain kind of educated scholars say, let's get back to the Bible. Well, now, who's going to argue with something like that? That everybody will agree with statements like that, right? So the idea is bring the ark back to Jerusalem where it's supposed to be. Everybody agreed to that. No problem there. See, now I'm trying to work you up to a point and show you something. We'll show you where we are today. Verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah, and Uri and Ahi, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, notice David was with all the people, right? Now, I've said this thing to you folks a thousand times. You might as well get it one more time. There had never been a time in history when everybody was right. There had never been a time when the majority was right. Amen?
Amen.
And if you agree with the majority, the chances are you're wrong. Amen?
Right.
All right. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, here's the Ark of God over here in Kadesh Jaron, and David gets the people together, so let's go get it and bring it back. They said, good, David, we with you. Let's do it. So they get a new cart, and they go over there to get it. Now, what's wrong with what we've said so far? Huh? Well, I've just named you about three things so far that's wrong. Remember last week I told you to look at in chapter 5, I told you to remember verse 19. And I told you to remember verse 23. You remember that? What does verse 19 and verse 23 say? It says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, amen, verse 19. Verse 23, the Bible says, and when David inquired of the Lord. Now here they're going to bring the ark back. David don't inquire of the Lord. Him and everybody get together and decide what they're going to do, and they do it. They don't ask the Lord nothing. Amen? You with me now?
Amen.
All right. Then notice something else. The Bible says in verse 3, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Now what's wrong with that? Well, the first thing that's wrong with that is, there was only the Levites supposed to carry that ark, and God gave the instructions back in the book of Numbers how they were supposed to carry it. They were supposed to carry it with poles through the staves on the ark and carry it on their shoulder. Now, like I said, now David was together with all the people, so he didn't inquire of the Lord. Amen. Now, you know, let me put something on you right here. And like I said, folks, what the trouble is today, the more people you get together, the least truth you can tell. Amen?
Amen.
If this place was packed out tonight, if there was, say, 60 people here, and we could probably seat 60 here, you know, reasonable, it'd be a mess, we could sit them. And I said everything I'm going to say tonight, 55 of them would probably leave ready to hang me. Amen? And the more people you get together, the less truth you can tell, because the more you get against the truth, the more opposition you have. I'd love to have a good crowd, but I'd really rather have a few where the spirit was agreeable and there was a free spirit and enjoy the things of God than have 10 or 15 out there cussing me every time I said something under their breath. And give me some looks like they can do. Now, if you ever preach to a crowd that looks at you, they can kill you with their eyes.
Right.
That's why God told Jeremiah, don't pay no attention to the way they look at you. Don't worry about them. You better worry about me. Amen. Because they can get you with them eyes. Amen. I don't need to go and do, but I've been in places where I'd say some things, and you could almost feel them eyes hitting you.
Amen.
I'll give an illustration. You remember that two Sundays I preached around the Bell Baptist Temple? There was no heifer, a woman out there, and I could feel her looking at me when I preached. Boy, she was as full of the devil as hell itself. Amen? And she's one of the ones that didn't want me over there. See? She's one of those men's wives. Well, I won't get in there. Let me get back here. All right, now, I noticed the Bible says they put it on a new cart. Now, where'd they get the idea of a new cart? Huh? Well, let's take our Bible and turn back to 1 Samuel. I'm going to show you where that come from. 1 Samuel, let's see, chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. That's on page 324. And let's see where this idea of a new cart come from. Remember? Now, I've already told you that after the Philistines had this ark and it plagued all their five cities, they tried to get rid of it. Matter of fact, they sent it to Kadesh Jaron, and that's where it was. That's where it is now. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 6, notice verse 7. 1 Samuel 6, 7. Now therefore make a new cart. You see that? Who made this new cart in 1 Samuel 6 and 7? Huh? That was the Philistines. They made a new cart to ship that thing out of there. Amen? Huh? Now you see what's going on here now, don't you? You see? That was the Philistines' way of handling the ark. And what David has done, see, David is with the people. He didn't inquire of the Lord. And what he's done, he's adopted the way of the unsaved people to do God's work. You see that? And that's exactly what you got going on today in most of the churches and all the big movements, you see. Now, we're told not to have close fellowship with the unsaved, and we're not to use their methods to do the Lord's work. If God's got something for you to do, He's got a way for you to do it. And God never told nobody that He wants something done, but you go out there and find out from the world how He wants it done. See, that's what they've done here. Now, according to that, that put most pastors out of business tonight. Huh? They used the world's methods to do the Lord's work. See? You can't do the Lord's work unless you use the Lord's methods. Now, you can do your work, but you can't do the Lord's work. Amen? I mean, the world's method is to conform to the world. You see? Conform to the world. And that's what troubled our churches tonight. That's what troubled our preachers tonight. That's what's the matter of the Christian people tonight. They don't want to be different. Now, let me show you something. That's what got the whole thing in trouble back there. Take your Bible and go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And notice here in verse 5. 1 Samuel 8 verse 5, the Bible says, and this is the Jewish people talking when they wanted a king, see? They wanted a king. And chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, "And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in the ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." You see what God's people wanted? They wanted a king like everybody else. They didn't want to be different. Amen? I'll get on some more of this a little bit later on, you know. But like I've said you know many times, if you average, you're not right with God, you see? That's why I say, what's wrong with a new cart? Nothing but the best for the Lord. Amen? Isn't that right? Wrong. That's not the way God said do it, you see? That's a small thing, preacher. You dwell on little things that don't have no meaning. You talk about this and talk about that, but this little thing that you might think nothing to, it cost a man his life. Huh? This cart they used to do something right, to do something everybody agreed with, to do what looked right to everybody, got a man killed. Huh? Now let me show you the spiritual application of that. How many little things in your life that you don't see nothing wrong with, just violating the principle God set up, you say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. How many people that little things you don't see nothing wrong going to cause to go to hell? Huh? Amen. All right. Let's read on. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. All right? Big celebration. Doing something for the Lord. Amen? We got a new building. Big dedication Sunday, dinner on the ground. Everybody come enjoy yourself. Say, what's wrong with that? Plenty if God don't want you to do it. Amen? All right. Boy, this rough here. I'll tell you something. You won't get this to First Baptist Church Sunday morning nowhere. Huh? I mean, big celebration. The Bible said they played before the Lord, not man. What's wrong with that? You see? Well, let me tell you what's wrong with that. You listen? God is jealous of His glory, and God is jealous of His presence. Amen? Now, the ark was connected with the presence of God over the mercy seat. See? Now, they're taking something that represents the ark of God. Now, you listen to me real close. I'm going to show you something here. They're taking something that represents the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, where no man could go but the one that God appointed and God cleaned up. And they're taking the world's methods and the world's way, and all them people out there agree with it, and they're going the world's way to do something for God. God's glory is at stake. You see that? Now let me remind you of something right here. I'm going to read you a verse in the New Testament. You can read with me. You can just listen. You ought to know the verse, but I'm going to read it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Let me stop there for a minute. You listen to me. You get this. You tell me you're saved. What does the Bible say? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means that you represent the presence of God. Am I right? All right. The Bible says, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. That means if God dwells in you, you belong to God. You better listen to this now. For you are bought with a price. Does anybody don't know what that price was? That was the blood of Christ that come from Paul's glory. You didn't get that down at the Methodist Church. You didn't get that from the convention. That come from heaven. Amen? Therefore, glorify God in your body. Why? Because it represents the presence of God. Amen? Huh? You listening? And in your spirit, which are God's. All right. Now I'll show you the point here in 1 and 2 Samuel chapter 6. So if you're saved and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and you're not your own, you're bought with a price, then if you take the world's means of handling your vessel, which is your body, you've taken the glory from God. And you go out here and you do something by the world's means, who gets the glory? The world. And that's what's happening in the churches. They've gone the world's method of doing things, and the world's getting the glory, and God's not there. Amen? And folks, let me remind you of this. That one thing God won't tolerate, God has never tolerated God never will tolerate nobody takes his glory. He'll kill you. You better listen to this. Now look what happened. Verse 6. And when they came to Nacho's threshing floor, Uriah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Well, the oxen shook it. Here was the thing on a new cart. And it coming down, it shook like it's going to fall. Good motive. Let's catch it. Take care of it. Amen. Good motive. Right? Good motive. I mean, take care of the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what God thought of it. Look at verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uriah, and God smote him. God killed him on the spot. As soon as he touched that ark, he was as dead as dead could be. Huh? And notice what it says. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uriah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now let me tell you what's going on today. I'll apply this to the church today, and I'll apply it to what they'll teach today in a lot of the Baptist churches, and I'll apply it to what they'll tell you in a lot of these papers. The majority of the preachers today and the Christians that I know and you've heard about, they say that soul winning is the most important thing for a Christian. Now, the reason a lot of pastors preach that and teach that because they want you, and I'm not against that. I think you ought to win all you can. Amen. I mean, you can get four or five, bring them to church with you Sunday morning, bring them on. Don't worry a bit about it. Just bring them here. But then on the other hand, that's not the most important thing for you as a Christian. The most important thing for you is to stay in fellowship with the Lord and keep your life right according to God. Amen. I've said that many times, and a lot of people don't agree. Matter of fact, a lot of preachers disagree with me on this, you know. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do this to anybody. You take that Bible you got in your hand right now. You look all the verses you can that tell you to go out and win souls. Find all you can. And every time you find one verse that tells you to go out here and win souls, I'll give you 10 verses that'll tell you how to conduct yourself as a Christian with the Lord. Huh? Now, the other day, I'm gonna be critical just for a minute. I don't usually do it, but I'm gonna do it tonight. I mean, I'm not usually critical. But this fantastic fool down the road here, this Methodist preacher, put a little piece of paper, you know, about witnessing for Jesus. I read on. He ain't told yet how to witness for Jesus. Ain't said nothing about nobody being saved. Ain't said nothing about, you know, being right with God. And I was thinking, I ought to write a counteract that thing. I reckon, I don't know, I ought to. But anyway, you know, before you can be a witness, though, you got to know something about what you're talking about. Amen. You got to know something about it. Can you imagine going to court and judge that? Call the witness. You come and say, what do you know? So I don't know a thing about it. Well, you ain't no witness.
Amen.
How you gonna witness for God? You don't know nothing about God, don't know nothing about the Bible, nothing about what God wants. How you gonna be a witness?
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Well, I didn't mean to be critical there, but that's what I'm showing you, see.
Right.
Now, the church epistles that Paul wrote over there, they're for Christians. They're not for church members, and that's why church members don't really care for them. Amen?
Yeah. Right.
You know? All right, look what happened to this man. I mean, here's the ark going along, and it started to fall, and he went over to catch it. Now, what's wrong with that? Now, look, the Bible says God smote him for his error. Didn't even say it was sin. It's just an error. He made a little mistake, and God killed him. Huh? Huh? Let me tell you something, like I said before, when it comes to God's glory, God don't spare nobody. You see? Because nobody is worthy of God's glory. See? His error was, he reached out then, he put his hands on God's glory, and God is jealous about his glory. The Bible said in Romans 1, they glorified him not as God. That's when the Gentile nation, that's the first step to any apostate, is when God quits getting glory. Amen. I'll tell you why you ought to know that. I'll tell you why you ought to know that God ought to get all the glory out of your life. Now, you may know it now. But if you don't know it now, you're going to know it when you get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, because I know it now, I can look back. I can look back right tonight and tell if it hadn't been for God, I'd have been finished long time ago. God got me through. When I get to heaven, I look back and see that God got me through all the time. It never was me.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So if God got me through and God's done everything for me, who ought to get the glory? Well, then why don't some of these preachers sit down and shut up if that's right? They believe that. Amen.
That's right.
Now, like we said, see, David, I reckon, got a little modernist here when this happened. Notice verse 8. The Bible says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uriah, and he called the name of that place Perazor Utar to this day. You see? David was displeased. I mean, David couldn't understand this, see? But he was also afraid. Notice verse 9, the Bible said David was afraid of the Lord. You see? Which is good. Amen? The Bible said the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. See? Now you see that thing? That thing put a little fear in David. Because when he come back to do that thing again the next time, he done it right. See? Sometimes God has to put a little fear in you to get your life right.
Amen.
Hmm? But if you don't have no fear of God, you never get right. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, the Bible said the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
So if God does something to put a little fear in you and you have no fear of God, you won't ever get straight.
Right.
All right? Now let's see what David does to get it right. Let's take our Bible. We'll turn to 1 Chronicles, back to 1 Chronicles 13. And let's read the account of what happened. 1 Chronicles 13. 1 Chronicles 13. Notice verse 9. 1 Chronicles 13, 9. Page 472. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kedon, Uriah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uriah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. All right, then you read the account on down here. Now look up there in chapter 15, 1 Chronicles 15. Look at verse 2, 1 Chronicles 15, 2. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Well, that's what God said back in Numbers. Amen? Why didn't you do that to start with? Huh? Huh?
Amen.
I mean, you know why he didn't? He didn't inquire the Lord. He was going along with all the people. You listening? I mean, suppose all the people would have said, David, let's build a new cart and put the ark on and carry it back. David said, well, appreciate your good motive, but that ain't the way God wants it done.
Amen.
Well, what's wrong with that? I thought you said you wanted to get it back. I mean, the main thing is get it back, ain't it? David said, no, the main thing not to get it back. The main thing, do what God said do.
Amen.
Right. Oh, you're too religious. You're stupid. You're a fanatic. You're crazy. Do it your own self. Isn't that the way they talk about you now? Huh?
That's right.
See? Now, David knew this all along. The Bible said, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. All right, 1 Chronicles 15, look at verse 14. 1 Chronicles 15, 14. So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark upon their shoulder with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And that's the right way. And that's what David did. He did it right the second time, you see. You say, how do you know it was right? Because it was according to the word of God. Amen. Somebody said, how do you know you're right? Because it's according to the word of God. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody said, what makes you think you're so right? Because it's according to the word of God.
Amen.
If it's in agreement with the word of God, it is right. Amen. And if it is not in agreement with the word of God, it is not right. Never mind the people, never mind your denomination, never mind your preacher, never mind none of that junk. If it's not in line with the word of God, it's not right. If it is right. Amen?
Amen.
Now you go by that.
Amen. That's right.
You know what the first time it was done? The first time it was done in the energy of the flesh. The second time, it's done according to the word of God, you see?
Amen.
And the only thing that decides what is right and what is wrong is not your opinion, it's not my opinion, it's not the way you see it, it's not the way I see it, it's not what you think, it's not what I think, it's what does God say about it, that's what decides what's right or wrong.
Amen, preacher, that's right.
Now I'm going to show you four things you need to learn here. Four things. Number one, read the Bible. Number two, know how God wants something done. Number three, always inquire the Lord before you do it. And number four, never trust yourself. Huh? Now you listen to me. If you know that, and you do that, you know more than 85% of all the people that profess to be saved tonight. Amen? It's very simple. Go by the book, inquire the Lord, and don't trust yourself. Amen? All right, let's go back. 2 Samuel Chapter 6, verse 9. 2 Samuel 6, 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Now look here. You know what David said? He got afraid. He says, my gracious, I tried to do right. And look what happened. How am I going to get it back? Isn't that like some people today, you know? You think because you go to church a little bit and you maybe give a dollar or two a little bit, you think ever then something happened, you say, well, what am I going to do? Huh? Why don't you try to listen to God for a little bit, amen?
Amen.
David, he's beginning to wonder, how is this thing, how am I going to get it back? And of course, he finds out later, and we're going to deal with that when we get there. All right, verse 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Also, right, to come to this place, and David was afraid to move, so he wrote this man's house that was close to, just put it there till we decide what to do. I'm afraid to do anything right now. God may kill some more. That's the attitude he had. All right, verse 11. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. You see that? Now the Bible said the ark stayed at this man's house for 3 months and God blessed his house. Amen. You want God to bless your house? Huh? Make sure the presence of God's in your house.
Amen.
You want God to bless your marriage? Make sure the presence of God's in your marriage. Amen. You want God to bless your life? Make sure the presence of God's in your life. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now you ought to learn that. All right, verse 12. Verse 12, we just read, you know, in 1 Chronicles. The Bible says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. Now, 1 Chronicles 15, I just read, told you how he done it. Amen. He went and got it right according to the Lord, the word of the Lord. He got the Levites to carry it like God told them to, and they carried it back, and everything went along fine. Amen. All right, verse 13. You see? Look at this thing real close now. Verse 13. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling. And verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, somebody say, what's wrong with the dance? Well, Psalms 149 verse 3 says, praise his name for the dance. You see? I mean, there's a time to dance when you're praising God. You see? Now somebody say, well, who you dance with? You and the Lord. Amen? There ain't no mixed dancing here. Amen? Now, somebody said one time, he said, every bad thing is a good thing twisted. And that's pretty good philosophy. Amen? But this modern day dance, this so-called stuff they got today, it ain't a thing in the world, but it's a sex dance. Amen? I mean, David didn't go out there and take one of the vestal virgins and start dancing with her. Amen? You see? I mean, you take the sex out of this modern day dance, you wouldn't have no dance. And like I said 1,000 times, I get in trouble this every time I say it. I mean, I will say it one more time. Christians don't dance.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Christians don't dance. It always gets quiet when you say them kind of things, but that's all right. David, the Bible said, dance before the Lord. Notice what it says. He said, with all his might. Huh? I mean, he wasn't doing the two-step. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, he was really at it. Amen? The Bible said, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. You see? And it says, verse 14, and David was girded with a linen ephod. It was like he'd have on nothing but a t-shirt. See? Now, this got him in trouble when he got home. Amen? Notice down there in verse 20. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household and Michal. Remember her? He's the one that David went out and killed all the Philistines to get. And he's the one that, you know, that left her and then he sent and got her back, you know. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of the servant, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. You see that? She says, she's sarcastic, see? How would you do to a king today out there with his clothes off, dancing where all them women could see you? That's what she said, see? Then notice how David answered. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, David said, I didn't strip down in my t-shirt so nobody could see me. I stripped down where I could dance better for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And notice David said, now David kind of brings it back on her, you know, which chose me before thy father. David said, I did that before the Lord, and the Lord chose me before he did your daddy. Which he did. Amen. And before all his house to anoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I play before the Lord. You know what David's saying? He said, God chose me for your daddy. God chose me to be ruler. So I'm out there enjoying the Lord, honey. If you don't like it, go run out the back door. Amen. Huh? I'll do those verses some more and I get to them coming through. But that's about what happens, see? And that's what, let me tell you something, folks. Anytime that you do something for God and you do it right and God blesses you, and you enjoy the Lord, there'll be some old hypocrite that'll make fun of you or say something wrong with it or find fault with it.
Amen.
Amen. I've been in churches and somebody get to shouting and there'd always be somebody say, I just can't see nothing in that.
Right.
Well, if they ain't got no joy of the Lord, I reckon they can't. Amen.
Amen.
I've had quite a few spells myself. I enjoy it.
Amen.
I may have some more.
That's right.
Amen. Let me tell you something. When God saves you, he puts something in you, you got something in there to rejoice about.
Amen.
All you got to do is get it right. Amen. It's there. You just get it right. Amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 15, 2 Samuel 6, 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trump. You see that? Shouting with the sound of the trump. And no Campbellite believes this, you see. But let me tell you something, folks. You listen to me. They're going to be shouting in heaven. Amen. And you might as well start practicing here.
Amen.
I remember years ago, I told you about this probably, but we was out visiting one time and we knocked on this woman's door and we told her where we was from and everything. She thought, she said, oh yeah. She said, you from that church down there where they shout. She said, I just can't stand that shout. I said, the devil can't either, lady. And I said, you say? She said, yeah. I said, they're going to be shouting in heaven. She says, oh, I don't think so. I think that means singing. Now, that ain't what John said. Boy, John said that was singing. I sure misread it.
Amen.
Boy, the boys, they're going to be around that throne hollering, glory, glory, glory. Well, I better hush. I'm getting a feel. I just about feel a spell coming on now. Amen.
Amen.
So, but anyway, David was, you know, shouting before the Lord there because now what happened, you see, he got in line with God's word, doing things according to what God, and God thrilled his soul, see?
Amen.
It'll happen to you. You get your life right with God, and you get your life lined with the word of God, and God will bless your soul. So now you might want to shout, amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you might even do it.
That's right.
Of course, but every time you something like that happens, you might as well get ready. The devil's around the corner.
Amen.
Amen. All right, verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Huh? You know, she had heart trouble.
Amen.
See? She couldn't stand to see David rejoicing in the Lord. See?
Right.
And the reason she couldn't see David rejoicing in the Lord is the same reason other people can't see today. She didn't have any. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you got the same joy I got, and God pours it on you, he'll pour it on me too. Amen?
Amen.
I've been in churches and be one or two get up and start to running or screaming. Next thing you know, boy, about 8 or 10 of them doing the same thing, see?
Amen.
Somebody said, that's a put on. Well, I enjoy it anyway. You go, I mean, go out in the world, go to a football game or a ball game or a race or something like that and watch them idiots get up and holler and shout. What are they shouting for? Amen. Alright. Now let's do something real significant here. Notice in verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in the place.